Okay. Okay, former Mayor James M. Hughley Jr., welcome to the Tulsa Historical Society. And my name is Chuck Ayers. Today is January, on the ski, it's Wednesday, January the 26th, 2005. And again, thank you for coming. Where I'd like to start is your early days in the oil business. If you can answer some of these questions. I wasn't quite sure, after reading your short bio, what capacity you were started out in, if you were actually in the field doing some work, or if you were a geologist, maybe.
My father came to Oklahoma in the early 20s, and he was from Tennessee, and I was born in Tennessee, and he got caught up in the crash of the 1920. And we came out, and he worked in the oil fields, and we would move with him from wherever he worked. So I've lived in a lot of the small towns in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. He would bring us into a metropolitan area like Tulsa or Oklahoma City for the school year, and then he'd go out wherever the boom was. Then in the late 20s, he went to work for the most famous oil man of Oklahoma, Tom Slick. Mm-hmm. When Tom Slick sold out his Seminole properties, he went into Oklahoma City right during the boom in Oklahoma City, which was in, I'm saying, 29 to 30. And I lived there from the time I was in the seventh grade until I graduated from University of Oklahoma. And after I got out of University of Oklahoma, I went to work in the Kansas oil fields on a drilling rig owned by my brother-in-law.
Can you explain what capacity you were working in the oil fields? What
I was a roughneck.
Okay.
That's about as low as you can get on a drilling rig.
What kind of people were you working with out there in the oil fields?
These were not skilled. These were not skilled. The driller was a skilled laborer. The rest of them were common laborers. Mm-hmm. And we did the hard work of drilling oil well. Mm-hmm. And my first well was in that I worked on was in Russell, Kansas.
And did you work?
That was in 1938. Then I worked in Illinois, and I worked in Mississippi, and I worked in all in the drilling business, this type of business. I got up to become a driller myself, and then mm-hmm. Later a part owner in a drilling company in Mississippi.
Was this when you had to build rigs, or did you have...
No, the rigs were built. These were portable. They were steel rigs. They weren't the old wooden rigs I think you're referring to. Mm-hmm. These were steel rigs, and then Lee Seymour was the big manufacturer, and then they went into the portable rigs like they have now, mm-hmm. the jackknife rigs.
Were you, I guess, drilling new wells, or were you going
mostly
further in?
Mostly wildcats or infield drilling.
Can you kind of give
on
us
a contract basis?
Uh-huh. Can you give us an idea of a wildcat well? What goes on there with that?
Well, a wildcat is a well that is drilled in an area that has no proven production. It's a good prospect, geological prospect, and it is just what it says. It is a wildcat. There's no reason to drill it other than the fact that you suspect, and with all the technology, that there might be oil there. Mm-hmm. And Tom Slick was known as the wildcat king of the oil field, and he was the one that my daddy worked for.
And what happened when you found oil there?
Well, then you went to the bank. you set pipe on it, you set pipe on the well, and then you produce the well, and then the next process was somebody would build a pipeline in there, they'd take your oil from there to the refinery and run on down the line until you get to your automobile.
I guess after seeing several old movies about people wildcatting and gushers coming out of the ground and stuff like that. Is that not the case?
Yeah, it's the case. And it happened right over here in Mid Glen, which is right across the river. It was one of the first famous oil fields. Mm-hmm. And it's still producing. Okay. That was about 19, seemed to me like 1908 or 9.
So when did you wind up into Tulsa? When was
Well, I went from, I got out of college and went to work for these drilling companies and lived in the places I just told you. And then I went into the Army from Mississippi.
That was what year?
My family, in the meantime, had moved from Oklahoma City to Tulsa.
You went into the Army, or what year was that in the service?
Let's see, 42.
Okay.
And I went in the Army in Mississippi, and I was drafted. Mm-hmm. I was kept out for a while because of the need for people to work in the oil field. But as time went on, and being an able young man, I went on and was drafted.
So when you came out, you headed to Tulsa?
My folks in the meantime had moved to Tulsa. And I had two sisters that lived here.
And you arrived here when?
And I arrived here in and out from the Army, I visited them. But my domicile before I went in the Army was Mississippi, Yazoo City, Mississippi. Ever hear of it?
So when
I would come home to visit, have a leave in the Army, then I met a Tulsa girl. Mm-hmm. We got married. Mm-hmm. And she'd lived here all her life. Mm-hmm. And we got married in 1946. Mm-hmm. And moved to Jackson, where I had a part interest in a small drilling company. Mm-hmm. And then West Texas, we moved from there to Midland, Texas, and lived there for about 9 years. Mm-hmm. Then came back to Tulsa, and by then we had three boys.
And what year was that you came back?
53 or 4.
Can you say what was going on in Tulsa at that time, in the 53, 54, in the 50s?
Well, at my household, there were three boys going on. And my wife had been very prominent, well-known, well-liked person in Tulsa. She'd been raised here, and so I met most of the people that I now are my good friends through her connection. And her father had been in the oil business. He'd been he was what they call a lease hound in those days, the guys that go out and buy the leases for the oil companies. Mm-hmm. And you
remember anything going on in downtown Tulsa at that time?
Well, my office was in the Phil Tower building, it still is. Mm-hmm. And that was really, and next door was the Tulsa Club, which was the hub of the whole oil industry. Across the street was the...
And this was truly the oil capital of the world.
It really was. Mm-hmm. Across the street was the Stanlin building, and then the Gulf had a main office here, and Shell had a main office here, and the Tulsa Club was there. Now you know where 4th and 5th and Cincinnati, it's a vacant building now. Mm-hmm. And it was a club that had, the ball course, and it also had two floors of living room, hotel space. And it had the dining rooms and the bars and the whole bit. And that was really, you go to Tulsa Club for lunch, you saw everybody in town.
Do you recall who the mayor was then at that time? I don't know.
I knew him very slightly.
Was there a Norvell?
It was Norvell. Wasn't the one that was there then. There was a
Maxwell.
Alden Flynn, I believe, might have been the mayor then. Mm-hmm.
So would you describe Tulsa at that time a boom town going, really happening?
Well, I think that's was about the peak of Tulsa, and they began to lose some of our major oil companies because of consolidation and because of the fact that some of them are moving to Houston. Mm-hmm. But we still had a good booming downtown business. I mean, all those buildings that are now parking lots were full of folks. And Main Street was a thriving downtown with some real high-scale shopping areas, stores, and Miss Jackson shop, and real high-scale ladies' fashion shops, and mm-hmm. jewelry stores, Boswell's, and places like that. It was a viable place. Mm-hmm. That was before people started moving out, before Utica Square.
Mm-hmm. Utica Square came in, what was that, 59?
Yeah, later.
Something
about
like that.
Something
around there. So, through this period and up until the time you first ran for mayor, how did things change to the point where you decided you wanted to run for mayor?
Are you talking about me personally now?
You personally.
Okay, well, I've always been interested in politics. And when I lived in Texas to some degree. I went to the state political conventions. Mm-hmm. I was at the famous one in Mineral Wells when Taft and Eisenhower were running, you know, and they had the delegation split and all that, mm-hmm. just as an interest. And then when I came up here, I was through my friend Pat Malloy, who was one of my local Democrat friends, mm-hmm. got interested in, and I think probably I was a Democrat at that point.
You were a Democrat, yeah. Then.
I think my first real race that I was interested in was when Howard Edmondson ran for governor, and I'm not sure whether I had changed my parties or not, but I know he's the one that gave me the appointment to the original Oklahoma Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. He either gave it to me because I helped in his campaign or because they needed a Republican on the board, and I can't remember which. I had to have one Republican. Mm-hmm. And then I was also a big football fan and a personal friend of Bud Wilkinson. Mm-hmm. Bud Wilkinson decided to run for the United States Senate. I was as big as his campaign.
Yeah, I remember that.
Particularly in Tulsa. And at this point, having had friends all over the state as a result of being on the ABC board and other statewide activities. Mm-hmm. And so when he became a candidate for Senate, why, I was his Tulsa representative. I don't really brag on that because people used to say if you couldn't get a guy like Wilkinson elected, I don't know why you ever stayed in politics, because he's the best candidate anyone could ever have.
I don't know why he didn't win. So anyway, you became mayor in 1966.
Right.
And what was facing you at that time as the new incoming mayor?
Well, the 60s were pretty rough on all of us, particularly those that are raising families. And we went through the trials and tribulations of the things that were happening, and then particularly on the north side and the integration and all these things were, the busing and all these things were just beginning to pop open all around. Mm-hmm. That was part of our administration, and we were involved in a lot of it.
During that term, 66 to 70, two different terms, I guess, was where they had the current Civic Center, was that there when you came
in? When I got there, I was in the mayor's office, which is on 4th and Cincinnati, the building there now. Hmm. And they moved about halfway through my term. Mm-hmm. All the plans were made and it was put out to bid while I was still in the old city hall. Okay. Then it was bid in and I lived in it, or I officed in it the last year and a half of my term. Yeah.
But it was that the planning in the building was not necessarily part of your term as mayor.
No.
You met some gentlemen out here that came here earlier from the Port Authority. How did you participate in the development of the Port Authority, the Port of Catoosa?
Well, to start with the bond issue, this is something I sort of inherited. The ideas and the dreams of Bob Kerr and that group to have this was sort of looked upon as a boondoggle, particularly among us Republicans. And it's just something that wasn't going to happen, but sure enough it did. And I happened to be there when it happened and tried to take credit for it. Only kidding, of course. But mm-hmm. the bond issue did pass, and the port was organized and set into motion mm-hmm. under my administration, and primarily Charlie Norman, who was city attorney then. Mm-hmm. And they set up the whole setup. Mm-hmm. And as a result of having gone through that, after I went out of the mayor's office, why, Bob LaFortune, who succeeded me, asked me to serve on the Port of Catoosa board, and I served there until today, still am, and that's been over 32 years, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So what were you and others in your administration or people around you thinking that the Port of Catoosa would bring to Tulsa? What?
Well, I just had no idea. I had no idea what they were even talking about. It's just something that was there, and learn and make the best of it. And of course, this exceeded anything that I had ever dreamed it would. It's just a fabulous operation. And have you ever been out there? And Bob Portis came up the hard way through the valley. He was here a minute ago. Did you see him? Do you know him? You met Bob? He does a super job. But anyway, it's just been a real interesting thing to see how that thing has gone and how well it's been developed in the original planning, how well it was done, because they didn't sell off any land out there. They had about 3,000 acres that they bought during the bond issue, which was passed under my administration. But they didn't sell off any land, they leased it. So you didn't get any land speculation out there where somebody bought a bunch of land and held it and tried to develop it that way. So you can't buy a piece of land out there. You have to lease it from the port, which is a continuing income. And the port paid off their bonds and have not been a burden on the taxpayers at one dime since the bonds were paid off. Been a fabulous thing. Yeah. Have you ever been out there?
Myself, no. I haven't. Well, I've driven by it, but yeah, I've never been at the port itself. No.
It's quite an operation.
Yeah. So after you, when you finished your terms as mayor and Bob LaFortune came in, he appointed you to the Port Authority as a director or on the board of directors?
Just on the board.
So how did that turn out? You're still on the board, aren't you?
I'm still on the board, yeah. There are nine members of the board. There's six of them appointed by the mayor, and three of them appointed by the Rogers County, which is where the port is actually located. And the three county commissioners each have an appointment. So there are nine members of the board, and then we organize the board as, you know, we'd like our own chairman and vice chairman and whatnot, and then hire the director, who's Bob Portis, the president. Some of the early leadership in Tulsa, people like Early Cass and the ones that really had the idea and really put it together, were still there and still working on it. Mark Tower and people like that. I just inherited a lot of the all the good stuff had been done. I just went in and took credit for part of it.
Well, since then, what has the port brought to Tulsa?
We've got about 3,000 jobs out there for one thing. We've got water, transportation, clear to the Gulf Coast. We've got train transportation, inner port, and then we're right on the main highway system. And it's just the statistics and the numbers of tons of material shipped in and out of the port are just staggering. Grain, steel, there's some fabrication of vessels that have come in from all the way. Well, we had this one the other day, 150 tons vessel that had been fabricated in Japan, come all the way to the Port of Catoosa in Tulsa, Oklahoma, put on a boxcar and sent to a refinery down in Ardmore, Oklahoma. It's just amazing.
You think the average population or citizen here either understands, appreciates, or is aware of the port?
No, I have no idea. I've done a lot of cruising, and had a friend that has a boat that I've been on quite a bit, and I used to pass this material out, no one would believe you. We had caps and t-shirts and all that stuff I'd give out to these guys. Couldn't believe that Tulsa was a waterway, and they still don't. I think one of the main reasons is there's no bad news out there. It's all good news. Even the good news doesn't get reported.
Let me ask you this. excuse me. Since you had left the office of mayor several years later, you were appointed, I think it was by Henry Bellman, to the Alcoholic Beverage Commission.
No, that was originally, that was Howard Edmondson. That was the Oklahoma Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. We were a dry state.
Okay.
And then, and that was my first statewide appointment.
How did that, were you in that position still when they, I guess, voted and approved a liquor by drink by county option?
We were created as a result of that vote.
Okay. Okay.
That was in 58, I believe.
So how did Oklahoma decide to go from a dry state to liquor by the drink? Or
well, I guess
the
Baptists finally gave up. That's a hard question, because we used to always think that, now you lived here all your life, and before we had before we went wet, well, we had the bootlegger deliver our goods to our back door and come down to the office and get his check. Now we had to go to the liquor store to get it.
Do you have any stories about that?
Convenience, huh?
Do you have any stories about that? Or?
No. There are a lot of them. I don't have any of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me throw it back to you. Is there something we need to know historically about, early Tulsa or early Oklahoma, or the, as your term is, mayor of Tulsa, that we're not covering? I'm sure there's lots of things that we have skipped over. Is there anything you'd like to say about that?
Well, I really can't think of anything. I think the highlight of my career was probably being at the right place at the right time as far as development of Tulsa, this Port of Catoosa thing, and that I had very little to do with, but just happened to be going on when I came along. And I think that we handled the situation in the 60s fairly well, seems to me like, looking back on it.
I'd like to, can you elaborate on that a little bit, like what the schools were like and how, was the magnet system set up in 70 or in the 60s?
It was in the 60s. It seems to me like, who was the doctor, Dr. Mason, you know, was the superintendent of schools. And he sort of ran that school system here like, his own little empire. I mean, if they have problems, discipline problems, they try to solve them within themselves. And then we got into the segregation where they had the magnet school, and then they started the busing back and forth. Those things were all very highly contentious things, and we seemed to do our job. I don't know whether we just lucked into it, but we seemed to get along fairly well. I had, like I said, I had three boys, and I became interested at that time in Holland Hall, where my wife had gone to school, and I became very active in helping develop that. That's one of the other things that I'd done non-politically, that and St. Simeon's, the nursing home out on the north side. I've been on both those boards for about 30 years. They've been really top-notch operations, both of them. But the schools.
Were there lots of demonstrations, and was there a lot of?
We didn't really. We didn't have too many. We had some real good leadership over on the north side. Some real top-notch people, and we meet with them regularly. We had several. The marchers go through town or stop by, or, you know, and I'd always go and, you know, when invited, would go wherever it was. And we had some near misses, but we never did have any. We had a couple of times when it looked pretty dicey, but it was mostly started by rumor. People, you know, that we're going to have a riot, or we're going to do this and that, and we seemed to come through them all right. I think we're in a better shape then, north side, than we are now, personally. And the funny thing about it, I don't know how funny it is, but under the former government that we had, it was the commission former government. There were four commissioners and the mayor. They were all elected at large. And at one point, four of them were members of Southern Hills. And I think they were better, North Side was better represented then than they are right now, having their own people fighting among themselves. Mm-hmm. That's just a little personal side.
Well, the other question I had, you mentioned the role of the churches in the alcohol question. What back, say, in the 40s and 50s, because I know Tulsa is still considered a real Bible Belt, how did the churches function and through the 60s and even, did you?
No, I don't think, no, I don't, there was nothing there as far as the liquor concerns. Tulsa's, I think, when I said the Bible Belt, I meant Oklahoma generally. Tulsa was always quite a bit more sophisticated than Oklahoma or Oklahoma City. They were just as different as day and night. I went to high school in Oklahoma City and then all through college, I still lived in Oklahoma City, and Tulsa was just a completely different town, completely different town.
So what was it like between Oklahoma City and Tulsa before there was a Turner Turnpike, or do you?
Highway 66 and a train.
Was there slower travel or less travel coming from both ways?
We had a train, you know, went over there and
You had a train going from Tulsa to Oklahoma City?
The old Frisco went on up to St. Louis or Kansas City or someplace. I forget, we used to ride the train all the time. But seemed like we went back and forth at will. I don't remember anything too.
Yeah. Nothing politically that kept you from going to over to the city.
Oklahoma City ran the state just like they do now because that's where the power was and the capital was. And at one time, we only had one state senator.
Did the city of Tulsa really feel kind of stepchild-like from Oklahoma City?
I think the city of Tulsa felt superior. Looked down on those guys as a bunch of hicks. I mean, that's socially, I believe that's true. And, you know, Tulsa is really an amazing town. The things they do and the generations before that have given so much to the city and charity and things that just amazes me. Oklahoma City, they got plenty of money over there, but they don't give it away. They like to come over here and get it, as a matter of fact. Some of their best deals over there came from Tulsa. That Oklahoma Medical Research was started by the Chapman estate, the Chapman Funds. Mm-hmm. That's a fine organization.
Is there any particular, of the petroleum companies, energy companies that were very helpful, like in funding or assisting in the development of Tulsa that you might have in mind?
I can look back and see that the president of the Chamber of Commerce and the active groups were people of prominence, and many of them had been the head men for their companies here, or were the head men, and they had more participation in our city, and like the Chamber of Commerce, the service clubs, and things like that, than they do now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have myself run out of questions, and if there's anything else you would like to add to it, feel free to go ahead. And if not, any more questions?
I don't have more.
Okay. I will conclude this. I do appreciate very much you coming to the Tulsa Historical Society and sharing your experiences about the early Tulsa.